Many years ago, more than I'd really like to remember or to share with you, a friend of mine shared with me a question that she posed to one of her professors when she was attending seminary back in the late 70s or early 80s. It was at the close of class, and she walked up to the professor and asked this: if there was life on another planet, would Jesus have to go there and teach and heal and die and be resurrected? Now, it might sound like kind of an odd question to pose, at least to some of you. To those of us who have followed the regenerations of Doctor Who, or count ourselves among the Star Trek or Star Wars generation, or perhaps of late are followers of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, this is not such an odd question, for we know there is life in many universes and time and space dimensions. It doesn't appear to have been such a far out question to the writer of Colossians either. The words we heard this morning, in fact, actually kind of push us to consider this expansiveness of God's work in the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. Listen again. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. All the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in the heavens, by making peace through the blood of the cross. In Christ, all things are reconciled to God, whether on earth or in the heavens. All things. The entire cosmos is reconciled to God through Christ. I picture it like one of those old cartoons of a telegram being sent out, where there was that little transponder thing sitting on top of the globe, and they'd have those circles going out. I picture it like that. Only it's these circles going out from the cross, reverberating that incredible love of God through Christ throughout the entire cosmos. All the possible universes out there. Pretty awesome to consider. Now, here's something else to consider to get all of our little lives in cosmic proportion. The energy released from a supernova, which is an exploding star, which, according to the Big Bang Theory, not the TV series, but the Big Bang Theory, which according to the Big Bang Theory is how all things got started. The energy released from an exploding star is composed of oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen. These are the same four elements most necessary for life, all of life. Chickens, rocks, dirt, trees, and humans. All of life composed of those same elements. Our bodies, in fact, are 65% oxygen, 18% carbon, 10% hydrogen, and 3.3% nitrogen. That comes to 96.3% of our bodies made up of the same stuff as a star. We are stardust. This is how connected we are to God's cosmos. The farthest star we can imagine is made up of the same stuff as we are. And the same reconciling grace of Christ, the same love of God, reverberates through us all. So tell me, how can there be such a great chasm between the rich man and Lazarus? If the effects of the resurrection are of cosmic proportion, if all of creation is linked by this mystical work of the Creator, as well as simply by the chemical, the quantifiable chemical reality that we are all one, how can there be such a great chasm between two humans? A chasm that, despite what the gospel lesson says, a chasm that existed in life as much as in death. Somehow or other, we humans are so good at settling into our own little cosmos rather than remaining in the expansiveness of God's. Luke's word choice here is really important in understanding this. The Greek words used are anthropos pioousios, used to describe the rich man. Anthropos. Anybody know? Anybody ever take anthropology? Nobody took anthropology? Anthropology. You did? Anthropology is the study of people, right? Anthropology. Anthropos. Human. Anthropos means human. Pioousios means rich. Rich human. We have a rich human. Lazarus gets denied this identification as a human. He's only described as ptokos, meaning a poor one, a poor thing. He doesn't get identified as a human. Luke is letting us know then how the rich man viewed Lazarus, not as another human being, but as a poor one, an object, a thing. Lazarus lay at the rich man's gate every day. The rich man literally would have to step over him in order to walk in and out of his house. But notice him? Nah. The rich human and Lazarus lived worlds apart. Even after death, this rich human does not see Lazarus as a human. He still doesn't notice him. Seeking comfort, he speaks to Father Abraham, not to Lazarus. He asks Father Abraham to send Lazarus to him, to render him comfort, as though Lazarus were a servant. Then he's even got the gall to suggest that Lazarus could go to his household and speak to his brother so that his brothers don't wind up in the same predicament. In life and in death, the rich human and the poor one are in separate universes. There is a great chasm between them. There's a great chasm between us. We humans quickly settle into our own little cosmos. Sadly, that legacy of the rich human and the poor thing reverberates into our present. We've changed the language somewhat today, softened it a little bit, but the dehumanizing effect remains, even among those of us trying to help. We still talk about the poor, the refugee, the disabled, the immigrant, the homeless, the addict. Each of these lumped together as a faceless, nameless mass, while the rest of us humans stress out about, bicker over, boy, do we bicker over, how best to help, how best to relate to the poor, the homeless, the addict. This is just the chasms that we create among the human parts of creation. Consider the ways we decimate non-human creation, stepping over it as we walk in and out of our gates of comfort and convenience. Did you all know that there is still oil spilling in the Gulf of Mexico from a rig that was destroyed when Hurricane Ivan struck? Anybody know when Hurricane Ivan struck? I did look that one up. 2004. For 15 years, oil has been leaking out of the rig that was destroyed by Hurricane Ivan. This year there are also oil spills off the coast of Chile and Australia. We've got mountaintop removal in Appalachia because that just much more quickly and efficiently harvests all that coal we need. We do clear cutting of forests for agriculture and paper production. The latest data I could find is that as of 2014, K-cups, you all know K-cups and Keurig, that makes a nice, quick, efficient, easy cup of coffee. As of 2014, 5 years ago, enough K-cups were sold that they could circle the globe a dozen times. Now, for those of you who don't know, a K-cup is about this big. A dozen times. There have been enough single-use plastic bags each year that we use, single-use plastic bags, they can go around the globe 773 times. Single-use plastic bags. 1 million plastic water bottles are purchased every minute around the globe. Now, I just got to tell you all, those water bottle companies, they don't produce water. They produce plastic. And just to kind of rein it all in and stick with our theme of the cosmos, there are at least 51 trillion microplastic particles floating around in the oceans. That is 500 times more than stars in our galaxy. Those microplastic particles are the things that are in exfoliating soaps that we use. We ladies like that, right? I do. Those exfoliating soaps, exfoliating face wash, microcrystals in your toothpaste to get your teeth nice and white. Those things don't break down. There is a great chasm between us, and it is reverberating throughout the cosmos. If only that rich human would have stopped at the gate and noticed, would have paused to take a look. If only that rich human would have taken off the blinders of comfort and privilege that kept him from seeing the humanity of the person lying at his gate. Then he might have discovered their great cosmic connection, that deep primordial link they shared from the dawn of creation. We have to stop as we walk in and out of the gates of comfort every day. We have to take off the blinders of comfort and privilege and see the shared humanity of all God's children, the shared goodness in all of creation. We have to stop and feel the reverberations throughout the cosmos. We believe in a God who gave everything to bridge that chasm that we carve out within human community and between ourselves and the natural world. God gave everything. The fullness of God was poured out to bridge that chasm. We believe that when God saw that sending Moses and all the prophets and all the other wise ones to guide us still wasn't working, God's word, God's wisdom became flesh. 65% oxygen, 18% carbon, 10% hydrogen, 3.3% nitrogen. Flesh with us and dwelt among us. And guess what? When simple, plain old humanness wasn't enough, God became a despised human, a homeless human, a betrayed human, an arrested and beaten human, and an executed human. And in resurrection, this reconciling humanness reverberates throughout the cosmos. We are created in this very image of God, who will cross any chasm to be in relationship with us. We are called to leave behind our separate, self-created little cosmos and boldly go where Christ has gone before. And then I do believe the entire cosmos will live long and prosper. Amen. Our next